Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Absolutely no one wants to go to the wilderness. It's not a place of joy. It's not a place of peace. When the Israelites wandered for 40 years, they kvetched the entire time. And I know that the Bible didn't take kindly when they wrote about the Israelites kvetching, but I would have been one of the ones complaining the loudest. It's rocky, it's dry, there's no water, there's no decent food. The wilderness is not a place where we want to be. And I can imagine as Jesus came out of the water that day with baptism and the heavens opened and the dove came down and God said, "You're my son, I love you," that he would have loved to just stand there for a while. But what does the Bible say? He wasn't given even a few minutes, no cake, no party for his baptism. He's driven right out to the wilderness. And it's in that wilderness that he spends a long time. No one, not even Jesus, wanted to go into a wilderness. I haven't heard anyone who's celebrating say, "You know, this is so wonderful. I can't wait for my wilderness experience. I can't wait till I'm down in the dumps. I can't wait till an illness strikes me. I can't wait to find out what it's like to have a rotten day or month or year." No one goes into the wilderness willingly. The Spirit drives Jesus into the wilderness. And it's there, the Bible says, that he was tested. He was tempted by the devil. And isn't that the way it is for us? When we're at our lowest, that's when evil strikes and evil can get a foothold. It's not when we're strong. It's not when we're reading our Bible and we're strong in the faith. It's when something devastating happens. And that's when the tempter comes and says, "You know, you've believed in vain. What is this all about? Evil's going to win. Why do you even bother?" For Jesus, the temptations were to use his power for his own means and his own ends. But every one of us that have been in the wilderness, all of a sudden the doubts start coming because we're at our lowest point. We're never attacked when we're strong. And there's a couple of things in the story that I think are so telling. Jesus was accompanied by wild beasts. These weren't our domestic dogs and cats and pets we love. These were wild animals, animals that could have harmed him. The wilderness was filled with dangerous animals. And yet the Bible says that he was with the wild beasts. And it gives us a picture of the wild beasts being tamed at Jesus' feet. I love that picture. It's the picture that we see in Isaiah when Isaiah talks about the peaceable kingdom and that the lion and the lamb are going to be together and there will be no harm to them. And then he says that the angels waited on him. Those were messengers of God. And it's one thing when we are in our wilderness experience, God never leaves us without messengers. Now, we might not see or understand it at the time. I, for one, have 20/20 hindsight vision. My foresight is not that good, but hindsight is wonderful. And there are times when I've gone through the wilderness that I've actually looked up to heaven and said, "You're not there." And a few years back later, I will look back and say, "Oh, he was there here, and he was there here, and he was there when somebody spoke to me this way, and when someone was praying, and when someone brought me a meal, and when I read this beautiful card from someone." Here were all the messages from God, and I did not see them at the time. God never leaves us without his messengers, the angels. Minister to Jesus, and they minister to every one of us in our wilderness experience. After he gets out of the wilderness, We usually skip one verse, which we shouldn't. We talk about Jesus came to Galilee and he was proclaiming the good news of God. But when was he doing that? After John was arrested. You remember that John was the great prophet. John was the forerunner of the Messiah. John was baptizing people. He preached in the wilderness. People came in droves to him. And you remember why he was arrested? Because he told the truth to an evil king. And despots don't like it when you tell them the truth. So he was thrown in prison. How is that a good time to stand up and to preach hope and forgiveness and love to a people when you know that it's dangerous? I am sure that John's disciples were very frightened when their leader was thrown into jail. And yet, it was that time that Jesus said, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom has come near, repent and believe in the good news." You see, the time is always right when we're talking about God's kingdom. It doesn't matter what's happening in the world. So often we look at the newspapers and we say the time is not right to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody wants to hear the good news. Evil has prevailed. But in God's kingdom, the time is always right. Even when despots rule, the time is always right. Even when illness rules, the time is always right. Even when we feel at our lowest, the time is always right to hear the good news. And repent means to turn around and follow it. The time is right. When we're in our wilderness, when we are experiencing the dark night of the soul, know that God has his angels all around us and has tamed the wilderness. And when we think it's just not the right time to know Jesus and to work for him and to live for him, God's time is always right. And we can turn around, we can hit the reset button today and turn around and follow him till our journey's end. Let us pray. Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Lord, for those of us who are going through the wilderness, we ask for those glimpses of you. In Jesus' name, amen.